here we are, another week. I'm sitting here with Jared, producer of The Wellness Connection, here with the founder of Hell Wellness, Karen. Karen seems real stressed out right now. But tell me something about your wellness journey for the week since the last time we were here.
Well, it's always on the weekend because my weeks are just really filled and unexpected events that occur. So this weekend, I didn't do much. I guess I just rested. I rested and I sort of lounged, which was, it felt really good.
So did you lounge or did you lamp? Do you know the difference between lounging and lamping?
I would love to learn.
Okay. Lounging doesn't require any other activity, like secondary activities or interventions. You can just be in repose. Mm-hmm. Lamping usually involves some food and beverage or some other entertainment that you take in while you relax. Mm. So were you lounging and were you lamping?
I would have to say lamping, though.
Okay. So you ate some stuff, had some good food, good company, and chilling?
Well, absent of good food, because I really didn't do too much munching. But I did have the TV on now and then.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about... we saw each other this weekend, too. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about entertainment consumption and trying to decide how to manage that. So what did you watch? Did you catch up on Power? Did you watch, what is it, Greenleaf? What's that?
Greenleaf, yes.
What were you watching?
Well, I didn't watch any of those this weekend. Of course, Power is not in its season right now. And Greenleaf is, but I felt a little bummed out and a little taken back about my choice, because the last episode is this Thursday. So I'll be missing that, because today I actually did a departing of that box.
You cut that cord.
I cut the cord.
Wow.
Cord. But I have to say,
you couldn't wait to Friday.
Well, no, but it, you know, speaking to you regarding that subject of making a lifestyle change was really impactful. I mean,
I threw that battery in your back, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I would say so.
Well, I guess we could have had that conversation on Wednesday, and you would have got to see the end of your show, but you'll be able to see it. Don't fret.
And us having that conversation on Saturday did have a major impact, because I was really having a meltdown. I was amazed at myself to realize that you do become attached to certain habits.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
I'm not a big TV watcher, have never been. I've developed more TV watching over the last year and a half, and I gained some connection to it. It was funny.
And then there's this weird thing called the investment bias. So that's sort of a psychological phenomenon where anytime you put either invest time, money, or energy into a thing, it breeds an attachment to that thing. Sometimes, independent of what's rational for you to do, independent of what makes sense, the fact that you've identified with it through your investment makes it more likely that you will continue.
Yes.
So that investment bias is, well, I'm someone who watches Power, so I got to watch all of this. or I paid all this money for this food. I'm not hungry, but I'm not going to waste this food. You know, it's like all these things that your investment in it creates an attachment to it, and then it perpetuates your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It works in behavior, and it works in a lot of things in terms of the way that you see the world. So, way to cut that cord and come on over to the other side.
Right.
You know? Wow. I've been the first time I was without a television was in 1994, when I first moved away from home. Mm-hmm. A television wasn't one of the things that I brought into the space where I moved into.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met other people who just didn't necessarily have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into the Army soonish thereafter and went overseas, and it was not particularly relevant because we did have a channel that we could watch, but it wasn't like you were up on anything, and, you know, it wasn't a big deal. So television was an event-based activity for me, not a habit-based activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I
yes.
tend to go out and watch. So if I wanted to see a game, I would make it a thing. Okay, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to watch this game.
Okay.
So it was a social event, and it got me out of the house, and it was something that was special.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much stayed that way until I got married, and my ex-wife, you know, she had a 50-some-odd inch, like the old school big screens before they got fat. She had a fat back big screen. The ones that sat on the floor. The ones that sat on the floor and, you know, took up all this space. And it was her, like, she was very much into that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you buy a 60-inch TV, you want to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So then, you know, next thing you know, I'm watching Judge Joe Brown. And you know, it fell back into my lifestyle.
Yes,
yes. But, you know, but it wouldn't have been that if I hadn't been there with this big TV was, and it was just like, well, this is the thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep us posted. You gonna have you? What are you gonna do?
Yes, exactly. Right. I'm gonna keep you posted. I was listening to your story and how. What journey took you to watching television? It was funny. It had me reflecting as you were talking about it. And I'm saying to myself, what made me start watching television? It became my little lover. That's what it was. It was my entertainer, my friend, my companion when I went home, because I would come home and I look around. It was nothing there.
So
no
you
one.
Watch TV.
There you go.
Watch TV. And. You know, it's what I almost $200 a month. He's like, I'm paying for it. I gotta watch it. You know.
Well, actually, it started off not so at 200. It started off reasonable.
And then it creeped up.
It creeped up. It said, right. You know, started creeping. I have to every year. I was calling back and saying, hey, what's up? And they was like, oh, we can lower it down for you. And they
right because they could always it could be as low as it always was, but they'll just keep it creeping up because it's too much trouble to call. You know what I mean? Most people are not going to go through the hassle.
Exactly.
So they just, we'll just keep on nudging it up until they say ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Until we'll nudge it up during the season of Power. We know they're not going to cancel until that's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we'll give them a deal and we'll creep back up until another show is on and they got to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the game.
That is the game.
That's the game.
And the third person I spoke to, in order to see what they can do for me, they send me through a little tier. I started off with someone who said, well, we can maybe take $2 off. And then the next tier said, oh, no, well, we can take about $10 off. Then this is going to work for you? I got to send you to the third tier. And now the third tier says, well, I can make it even sweeter for you. I said, you know what? You guys are getting on my last nerves.
Well, there you go. Well, that's a significant step in your wellness journey, stepping towards being more intentional about your consumption of media.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cutting that cord, saving some money, enhancing your financial wellness.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'll speak on mine just a bit before we get into this week's interview. So I was here all day Saturday, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and yesterday I went to spend some time at the Motor House. And I don't know if you're familiar with Motor House, but whoever's listening probably isn't. Motor House is a unique place. I don't even know what to call it really, but it houses artist studios and arts organizations, and then there's gallery space and performance space, and all sorts of events happen there. It's a very flexible space that is located in the Station North Arts District in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a conversation with a artist and educator who you'll be hearing from soon. Not going to spoil it, but I got some really good tape in a conversation with her, and also got a tour of the space. She shares studio space with some pretty prominent artists in the city, and it made me think about what my creative community looks like, because she spoke a little bit about the way her creative community has shifted, transitioning from being an educator in the city, working in programs in the city, then through graduate school, and now working as an educator on the college level as well as in other programs, and being in the sort of in the company of professional artists, all the different intersections of community that she's been traveling through.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think back to or through some of my different times in my life in the creative communities that I've been a part of. Tragically, a person within my creative community is a unique creative community because we are all both veterans and musicians. And we collaborated, we met through the military and collaborated over space, created music over the years. One of the members of that network passed away this weekend. So I wasn't directly connected to him in that I never was stationed with him, but he was a part of that network of music, people that we shared music with, and he's performed on tracks that I produced and with people that I've been working with. So seeing that and thinking about the way that in the past I had cultivated that community and how I've kind of moved beyond that part of my creative life and the relationships that are there and the way that looks now. So my thinking through that has sort of been the focus of my attention over the week, cultivating that and making a sort of doing an inventory of like, do I have the people in my life or from a creative standpoint who are feeding me and making me a better artist and giving me the opportunities to grow that I experienced during that time, because I had a tremendously steep growth curve when I connect with those guys over the course of a 2-year period. I went from like zero to like really, really quickly because we were like a clique. Like we were always together and we were always working.
Would you say it was like iron sharpening iron?
Well, I wasn't iron yet. It was like I was late to the party, and they were very generous. I'll put it that way. I had a skill set that I brought to the collaboration, but it was something that was very different than what they did. So it wasn't like a direct, it wasn't really a competitive thing. It was more of me kind of going to hip hop school. So, I mean, I'd already been exposed to music and created music and enjoyed music, and my paradigm was more gospel or jazz. So I brought that into this situation where these were like New York dudes who were like, you know, hardcore hip hop. And I was really immersed in that and in DJ culture and in all of that, getting my hands on the gear and all of that stuff. So that was a really immersive experience that I grew through, and I didn't even know the level of impact that it had on me until a few years later when I was in another place and they were like, we need somebody to DJ, we need somebody to MC this event. And I was never really that guy in the context of this group. I was just kind of around. But I got on the mic and it was just like, hey, yo, what's up? Get your hands in the air. Like, I was rocking the party for real. Like, I was the MC. And I internalized that, just being a part of that community. I understood it in my body how I was supposed to be.
Wow.
So when I got up there, I was the real deal.
Yes.
And, so that was a critical point in my creative journey. And I know how important a community was to making that happen. So when I look around my life now, I'm like, okay, who are those people now with what I'm doing now? And am I in the place of my life where I can sort of submit to that process of being, you know, I was younger then, and you are more open to like making those connections. It's the younger you are, the easier it is to like make friends.
Yes,
you know, it's hard for grown folks to make friends because you already got your life set up a certain way.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily have the time to. So much of the building of our relationship was, it was built, we worked together on stuff, but the relationship was built on just casually being around each other without a specific goal. It was just like, we're gonna hang, so we're gonna all go out and eat, we're gonna do this together, and you just get to know and develop a level of trust and comfort.
Yes.
And when you get older, sometimes it's difficult to do that with new people. Because most people don't have that kind of mental space because they got family, all of these things. They don't have time to just rock with you just like that.
Right.
You know?
Now
like,
this
man,
group,
I got something to do.
This group was a young group, similar to your age at that time, or was this a mature group?
Well, we were all in our 20s.
Okay. Okay, great. So you guys shared, chronologically, you shared that in common.
Yeah,
it's
we were all...
style.
Yeah,
and
yeah we were all... my guess, and I'm not sure, we were all within 5 years age
of
each other. You know?
Yes.
Some guys were like late teens, like 18, 19.
Gotcha.
And some of us were in our mid-20s.
Yes.
But it was that time. It was the right time to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, so much came out of that. And it's the type of community that is sort of a unique, it's a uniquely face-to-face opportunity type connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it, you know, and it was pre-internet. Well, the internet was a thing, but it wasn't, it didn't have the capabilities
correct.
That it has
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way for us to have done this other than being in the same room. So now it takes a lot of energy to create those types of connections. Mm-hmm. And I know that I don't really have my at that level. And I'm like turning over and over in my head, like, to what degree do I need that and to grow? Or, I mean, I do have a lot of experience and I can sit down and do stuff. We were all peers, you know. So now it feels like my network now is more hierarchical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either people that work for me or I work for that are like the key people in my network.
Yes.
And those stakes make it a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like expect anything of each other, or there wasn't anything required of each other. We didn't have to turn in work to each other or report to each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were just peers working together. Now I have a large network, but there's usually some kind of hierarchy involved where, you know, the stakes are a little bit different. So so that's sort of what I contemplated yesterday as I went about my day. And that's sort of the that's sort of the extent of the most recent part of my wellness journey.
Very good. Very good. It'll be interesting to see how your journey evolves as well. Because that's a good question. I mean, yeah, because it's nothing like camaraderie and people getting together and flowing with that energy. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What's on the What are we sharing today, Karen? What conversation are we sharing today?
Are we sharing Joe's conversation today?
And oddly, Joe is in the studio again.
Yes.
Usually we record these like long after the interview is recorded. But Joe just happens to be in the studio today trying to be quiet. But we got Joe's interview. He shared a bit of his journey. And so hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Hale Wellness on the Wellness Connection, where quality living is brought to everyday life. I have with me this evening Mr. Joe Braswell, who is a photographer and a videographer in Agria. I want to welcome him. Can you please further introduce yourself, Mr.
Sure,
Joe?
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. And thank you for the network getting together with me. My name is Joe Braswell. I began a business 14 years ago. It's called Just Passing By. It's J-E-S, Just Passing By. And the reason for the name of that business is we are always passing people on our way, on our journeys every day. But as we pass them, we don't think in time, will I see this person again? And sometimes in thinking about that, we need to stop and say, hey, how are you doing? You know what? I miss that smile you used to give. You know, you're not giving it right now. So I miss that smile just to let people know you remember them, you miss them. And it's a nice way of showing people affection without being too affectionate. The other thing is, as a photographer, I love taking photographs. And I've done that since graduating from high school. That was a long time ago. And when I graduated from Morgan State, I was on the writing board, but I was also a photographer there as well. And by doing photography, I just was in love with photography. And it was the other language that I used to do the writing because I was an English major. The way in which that kind of wellness can be shared with other folk is, I've gone through a couple of situations that I guess I need to share them. I have had two of my children die, and I've had to bury them. And by so doing, it's something that no one really wants to go through, especially the last one, who is my daughter. She had two sons, and they are now 17 in high school in his senior year, and 14 in his freshman year in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was mind-blowing simply because I had to do everything that one would conceive of when it came to the coroner's, not coroner's, but the office. And they asked, well, can we get this obituary? We need a picture. We need this written up. We need all of this documentation and things of that sort. Not thinking anything was going to happen, I ended up having to write all of this as quickly as possible. And it occurred in 1 week. She died on Sunday. It was February the 1st, the first day in Black History Month, and we buried her on that seventh day, on that Saturday, February the 7th.
Wow.
So wellness in that sense is applicable because I don't feel anyone wants to, or wants to at least attempt to, try to do as much as I had to do. And that is, I had to find a picture. And the reason I had to find a picture is because the story behind that is kind of jovial. My daughter, Abea, she would always take all the pictures that were around the house, and she would find them, and then she would take a little scissors or a pair of razors or something, and she would cut her picture right out of it.
Mm.
And it left us with no pictures with her in it. So I had to keep looking and looking and looking and find older pictures, which were her as a child.
Yeah.
So I realized then no one wanted to go through looking for pictures like that.
Mm-hmm. And what I hear from your journey in wellness, as we all know, end of life is part of our journey. And what I'm hearing is that you're taking that experience that was tragical, and we're sorry to hear about such a tragical, unexpected end of life. But you're taking what I'm hearing, you're trying to take it and evolve it into a wellness experience. The journey of her being here, celebrating her life, and how you're going to now display that with everyone. Could you continue?
True, true. The way that that can happen and should happen, and I've been reluctant to making it happen, and that's mm-hmm. the part I've put on myself, is that I kept thinking I could do this by myself. And that's when I realized God, Allah, the Almighty, has put each and every purpose, each and every person here for a purpose, with a purpose. But I guess we sometimes get a little ego trip in and start thinking, well, I've gotten this that good, and I've got that this good, and I can do this and I can do that. But somehow there are some things that are just missing. So I didn't think I had anything missing. I thought I could shoot photography with very well, but I then found out I can't do a thing in editing, not because I couldn't do it, but because I didn't really want to remember all that.
Wow.
And it was so much to remember. Mm-hmm. I could learn how to edit the pictures, get a good picture out of one. But I usually felt that I had shot so well, let's show it just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over-tripping when it came to being an egotist. And I realized, my wife is right. You always do think you're right about everything, and you're not.
Yes.
And you don't take criticism very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came to finding someone to help me, it was very difficult for me to find somebody because it seems like I keep forgetting everything they show me. And they may show me 3 or 4 times, and each time I go over the very same basic thing, and they're wondering, are you listening?
Yeah. I love how you're sharing and sharing with the community how we, and our wellness journey requires resources, people, loved ones, friends, resources from businesses sometimes that help us bring our journey to that wellness level. And it was interesting to hear that you had to go through a tough spell in your life and discover that journey that I need resources in my life.
Really?
Yes, yes. And that's part of wellness. And
it is.
Please do share more.
Well, one of the biggest projects came when about 5 years ago, a friend of mine at WEAA Radio, the bass man, there was a turnover in the staff. I didn't know what was going on. There was also a turnover at Morgan State. And the Dean Wickham, was beginning the school for journalism. So my having come out to Morgan often, I got involved in, okay, what's going on and who's doing what? And I always carried a camera. It's almost like being prepared, Boy Scouts motto. So in carrying my camera, I found that there was a party this evening. And I said, well, what's the party all about? And they were celebrating the new system that they were about to implore. And I said, okay, then can I come? Mm-hmm. So I was invited to come to the party. I came, took pictures, and I left. I later developed the pictures, brought them in, and showed them to the dean. And he, in turn, later requested that I shoot for a much larger scenario. He was doing an awards banquet, and he had hired me to do that. And I did that. In doing it, I also gained the confidence of all the people at Morgan who did know how to do editing, except I was asking them to teach me how to do something that, not being a student, they could not do. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand why they could not do it. Mm-hmm. And so that made it difficult for me because I was using their time and I should not be able to use their time freely. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have money, so that made it difficult for me to try to get them to do this with me. But I found all of the people there gave me different reasons for continuing on this journey. One was Mikkel Hunter. She came in as a new person. Mm-hmm. She was working with Robert Saeed. Robert was doing Strictly Jazz, and Mikkel was like his partner, but she wasn't doing the jazz. She was sitting down and she was making conversation. So whatever he would play a song and whoever's name he might mention, she might make mention of something, and she is as good as, oh, she reminds me of Nancy Wilson, et cetera. And they would start a little con. The next thing you knew, a tape of Nancy Wilson might pop up, and the direction of the music might change. Mm. But what had happened was one Thursday, Mikkel asked me to come in early because she was expecting some kids to come in. They were the Dorsey brother and sister. I did not know who they were at all, right. But it was a family affair. Mm-hmm. Mother and father brought their two kids in. They were all musicians. These two kids, they were at that time around 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. They might be about 14. They played the sax, and they were extremely good.
Amazing.
So I taped that, and it was just maybe a minute or so. But then as she had different people come in, I would come in and tape different people. So that started it off. After that, I started doing things on my own, which was to go to the different DJs and ask them, let me get certain shots of you. And so I did that with as many of them as I could. Then the next thing, when I had done this previous shoot that I was telling you about, I found out some of the people were leaving and some were staying, and the whole dynamics of change was their times were changing. So it wasn't at the same time I was used to seeing them that I would see them anymore. Mm. And so everything was becoming very new, and I couldn't keep up with the same people at the same time.
Right.
So I kept doing the project instead and tried to find new people to work with and
very
see if that
good.
Worked.
One of the things I've learned about you sharing with us, Joe, is that in your journey, you not only evolved your skills in first looking at utilizing your photography with your daughter and gathering, you know, for the passing, mm-hmm. you know. But also what I hear is that you evolved your journey through also looking at different ways you can see your lens in different settings.
True.
Okay. And I think that is like exciting. And I think with I believe, with bringing that different lens to different settings has helped to create your wellness in an evolving way. You were sharing with me earlier, and if you can share with the audience, how you're looking at making a documentary by gathering some photos you took out in the community, just at some random event that some musicians got together. And you, as I was listening to your story and what you want to create in this documentary, what I heard was, I love these people, how they're taking the earth and they're engaging with it. They're taking their music. Right. They're taking their clothing. Please share, enlighten the community, your vision and how you're going to bring that to a wellness awareness in a documentary.
Sure. One of the things I've done is, there are many, but one of them is learn to organize. I've been horrible at organization. That I found to be the epitome of where this all comes together. Mm-hmm. I've taught English for at least 35 years, and I didn't think I had a problem with organization until it came to me. I had to look very closely inside to see, where is this going? Well, what was happening, different projects were just popping up, one after the other after the other. You just mentioned the one concerning a group called Park Vibe. Park Vibe stems from the name Druid Hill Park. Mm-hmm. And they took on the name. Park Vibe is a set of musicians, musicologists, who meet at the Druid Hill Park generally every Sunday, sometimes on Saturdays, but it's based on the weather. So if the weather's good and the weather's nice, the sun's shining, they're meeting from any time from 10 o'clock on a Sunday until 8 o'clock at night if it's light out there. And they're playing their drums. They bring their drums and they start playing. The musicians are men who come from every caliber of life. Some are professionals at different schools. Some have gone to school for music. I just met one, Ben, a young man who we were talking about a place, the location that we were in, and Tom was saying why he did not want to go to the new location. The location to me is a reason for how this can fall and be divided. And I was asking, let me give you a ride on over there. He said, no, I'm driving. I said, yeah, but let me get you over there anyway, mm-hmm. because you have such a beautiful sound. You need to put that sound back where others can hear it, because if your sound is taken out of this large caliber of sound that people don't even get to hear,
yes.
then it's by itself and nobody will hear it. And so we need you to be with the rest of the brothers so that they will hear this sound. Likewise, the idea has been, I've been shooting and performing with them for as long as I've had my drum, 11 years. So I've got that much in terms of photographic work. I had started the idea of doing just a photographic book, but I lately got more in touch with, no, the lives of these guys are so important because there have been at least 3 or 4 deaths in the last 3 years. And I had documentation, but the problem, and I found it to be a problem with me, I had not shared it with them. I had not given them their own pictures. And at their own funerals, I was too confused as to get that picture ready to bring it there to do that. And I figured at this point, that's what I have to do. Everybody has to have his and her, because there are some sisters who used to come out as well. And they would dance. They would start the dancing and they would play different other instruments. They have to have this to at least keep us together. And there's a reason for us being together, because we are feeding one another. The beauty that we bring to each other. And as artists, it's hard to find artists who are not just competitive.
Right,
we're not
true.
Competitive. And that's why we work well with each other, and we need to keep doing it. And I realized, hey, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to become a millionaire. Stop thinking that. give up the art and let the people have it. And that's one of the things in terms of wellness I had to come to. I had to realize, hey, the money is not what you're after anyway. Mm-hmm. It never was. Mm-hmm. But you always keep sidetracking and saying, well, why can't I get this much for it? Because that was not what it was made for. Mm-hmm. That was not the intent of it. And when I had to go through what I went through, I realized that never was the intent, and how we can always be sidetracked by something else that looks like it's more important or a higher priority when it really isn't. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. Mm-hmm. We have to set our priorities.
Yes, I'm looking at your photos, and they're so detailed and graphic. They're descriptive, just looking at it. And I myself look forward to eventually seeing that documentary. I'm sure it's going to have an amazing story without many words attached to it, because hearing your vision and your passion to how you're going to share your wellness with that documentary is going to be out of this world.
And, you know, this is one place also. I have met so many people. One of the persons I met was Mary Alexander.
Yes.
When I became a member of PCAB, which is part of the parental school board as advocates for the parents of children in the school. And I served two terms, and it went by so fast at the last minute. Yeah. Mary said, well, look, why don't you, Braswell, come over here on the east side and do this for me. So I did a favor of shooting some things she wanted done, because she's a definite advocate of a lot of things.
Yes.
I sent the pictures. She never got them. So that's one of the biggest things I have to learn how to do. I have to make sure people get the pictures and check by sending me a receipt saying you got these. So that's one of the things, doing that and making sure that people get the pictures and are satisfied, but at least know this can be part of the newspaper and newsletter, because I remember we were starting a newsletter for her. I don't know if it started or not, but in meeting Mary, I also met Gerald, and Gerald was doing this, and I read on the front, this is something that occurs every Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. So one has, you know, you just have to make yourself available. But he is here. He is very studious, very knowledgeable. And I've had to call him several times, and he just gives of his time. He knows so much. And I've just watched him work with people. And I said, that's how you work with people. Mm-hmm. He's very humble.
And I'll end with this. So are you, because you've learned how to tap into the resources in the community to make things happen so that you can bring your story, your wellness, to the rest of the community. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The Wellness Connection podcast is brought to you by Hail Wellness, a social and interactive platform where we connect our community to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who have tools, services, and programs that nurture the mind, body, and spirit. Engage in awareness by taking our free wellness assessment and take first steps towards optimizing your wellness. Visit wellnessconnection.health.